Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. We have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality this evening. And I don't want to be too funny or anything, but I thought tonight's show, I named it, What's God Got to Do with It? Yeah, it's kind of a play on a song. I know all about that. But, you know, I thought it was interesting because there's so much about this happening in our society right now. There's more of what I would call kind of almost a confrontation between people who either doubt that there is God or have a very specific kind of view on what God might be and are antagonistic and even hostile about other people's viewpoints. So I think that tonight I'd like to address all of these issues, particularly since we're in the holiday season that usually is considered by many people a religious kind of thing, or at least a spiritual kind of thing for them, if not for others. And if we're going to be continuing that type of traditional way of living in this country, which I think is, in my own opinion, a good thing, but it's going to need to be addressed, maybe, what has God got to do with it? And in another way, I thought tonight would be interesting, and also bringing up the concept of, besides the ones that I just mentioned, of God actually playing a role even in the more severe and difficult times that we're facing, like what's going on overseas right now, and terrible things are happening, and people might say, well, what has God got to do with that, you know? Because, after all, some of these people even claim God's on their side. So, I mean, you have to look at some of this and ask yourself these questions, like, okay, there's an old saying, and I'm going to answer this very quickly during the first part of the show, if God is all-powerful and all-good, then why do bad things happen to seemingly good people, and why is there evil in the world? And if there is, in fact, evil, and some people may have a debate about that. So I thought we'd bring all of that together, and if you would like to participate, you can by calling in 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. And for those of you in Canada, 888-815-9756. And for our overseas listeners and other places, I guess you could try calling. And, of course, you could call in using one of the BBS phone numbers, which I don't even have handy at this moment. But nonetheless, you can get it off the website because that's how you must be listening to us. So you have that option as well. I don't usually bring it up, but we are getting more people who are listening from all over the world. And for that reason, I have to mention it. Some of them, of course, are listening to the show after it's been aired live because they're in time zones where they're either people who are insomniacs or have other reasons for being up in the middle of the night, or for whatever reason they find it necessary to listen to the show at odd hours. Okay, so let me, in their time zone, of course. So let me continue on with this idea that God does have a lot to do with everything, and the basic premise that I'm going to put out there is that we don't just live in the thought or perspective or even the grace of God, that we live as a part of God. So there's a big difference between my philosophies and some of the those of some organized religions. Because in my readings and studying of religions, I actually, part of the time that I went to university, I studied comparative religions as part of a major in philosophy. One of the things that I sort of went through many different majors. I thought, well, now that I got that done, I'll go try something else, you know. But nonetheless, that was one of the areas, at least as an undergraduate student, that I definitely pursued and got a lot of hours in. So a comparative religion helps because it gives you a wide perspective or wider perspective on how different religions really look at what God is. And One of the things that I find interesting is that the, at least this is my own conclusion from many, many years ago, something like 40 or so, was that, while I studied religions, I saw that the older the religion was, the more that, the being that was God, became generalized to some extent and somewhat removed as, being interactive in some fashion with those who were involved or participants in the religion. And that's, I thought that was kind of interesting, and you could think about that if you want to add something to that idea, because I saw some kind of correlation a long time ago about that issue. And as far as my understandings today, as I said a couple minutes ago, to me today, God is a entity being in which it chose to co-create and create all of life so that it could grow. I sound, that sounds strange because everybody thinks of God being this all-powerful thing, but it could grow through choices outside of its own, allowing its own growth to come from its original creation, then added to or co-created with those creations' input, so that those creations could enjoy and eventually become as great as their own creator at some very, very distant time. And it gives, apparently, in my opinion, this creator or God an important element that is significantly different than is found in most organized and traditional religions. And that is, this creator is more magnanimous, more, we'll say, open-minded, maybe beyond the word open-minded, that would probably be far too restrictive, and more seeking to become something even greater than it is in itself, and allowing and even cheering for the further co-creation of those that it has helped to create becoming as great as they could be. So this is the joy that this creator seems to relish is in its own creations becoming co-creations and eventually growing to infinite levels like it itself exists as. This is so different than some elements of some religions that I wouldn't call it a religion. And the reason being that a religion to me, again, this is my opinion, and of course you can call it if you'd like to give your own about this, but a religion to me is a religion in which, is a way of, I shouldn't say a religion in which, is a way of understanding how to best communicate with and worship the creator that that religion particularly is stating is the creator. And it's a way of knowing the creator through a doctrine. And the interesting thing about that is this other approach I'm suggesting is very different. The doctrine effect is gone because in order to know the creator based upon what I'm suggesting, which is not just my own idea, it's a part of a whole philosophy called ageless wisdom. But in order to understand the creator in this venue, this venue would have to be co-created with. So you can't know the creator unless you're doing what the creator does. Okay, so I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. So going to a church where somebody tells you something about how to worship or what the creator is or whatever really wouldn't be of much value if you believe already, or you have come to the conclusion, maybe through thoughtful interaction, that the only way to really know one's creator is through awareness and then consciousness of the creator through co-creation with that creator. Not to the same level, of course, but as far as humans are concerned, but at least in some small measure and on a conscious level, meaning that the person is aware that they're really doing it and they understand what that awareness means to themselves. This is why humans can follow this whole principle and get close to their creator, whereas kingdoms below humans, such as animals, can't do that because they don't have the awareness of God, and they certainly don't have the consciousness. They don't understand what any, if they had any awareness at all, which it seems to be severely lacking, they don't have the consciousness to understand whatever awareness they might have. The slight amount of awareness I think of in animals usually comes from contact with humans, or in rare cases, the love and caring that they have for those of their similar kind of animal. But that, unfortunately, isn't really an awareness of a creator. It's an awareness of the sentiment and feeling of love, which is a way of saying the creator's thought. So you could say they have some awareness of the creator's thought, but it isn't the same as understanding that this is a being that they are co-creating with. They just don't have any clue of that. Humans do. And by and large, the proof of that, as I've stated in prior shows, is that humans actually create religions, maybe a little bit prolifically, and then unfortunately go out and do terrible things sometimes to other people because they don't follow their particular religious views. But nonetheless, they do that. Now, what has God got to do with this? Why would God create this mess that humans in this planet at this particular time, but for millennia, for all of recorded history and maybe before, have been creating nightmares with? I mean, you know, those of you who are following the news know that there's various religious groups that are fighting the both social issues and fighting religious issues with other groups, and we have terrorists and terrible destructive things happening. Why would God do that? I mean, and for the people who are atheists or who are agnostic and say they don't know if God exists, you could almost see their viewpoint, like, well, this doesn't make any sense. What kind of God would be a lunatic like that that would create this kind of mess? Certainly, if God wants to create co-creators, why would it make a circumstance where some of these people are going to become fanatic and crazy, etc.? And here is the interesting problem, if you can look at it from God's viewpoint, if you don't mind being a little less humble for a minute and taking that side. And that is that in the viewpoint of a creator who is seeking to give freedom of thought and action to those that it creates that can co-create with it, which would be humans and above, there's a dilemma. There's an, you know, kind of an enigma and a real problem and a paradox. And the paradox is what really is the crux of what we're dealing with. And that is that you can't have freedom without there being a lack of doctrine and a lack of control. And so, ultimately, there is no specific doctrine or control on those who choose to participate in the system of being aware of and co-creating with the Creator, so that they can't become fanatical, which would be kind of antithetical to the entire process, obviously, but still they have the choice to do that. And they could even become evil in the sense that they are seeking to destroy life rather than to co-create in producing more of life. So and they may also seek to destroy God if they even admit to God's existence. So here we have a very complicated, but maybe not so complicated, idea that you can't give real freedom. Real freedom is the kind that that is not hypocritical, that does not have underlying strings attached, and that literally is nothing more than a politically correct or some kind of superficial element to controlling and forcing people to be a certain way. So if we're going to allow people, or anything like humans, people, that have awareness and consciousness of God, to exercise this awareness and consciousness in true freedom, they have to be free to be destructive to God and destructive to God's growth, which is life, and to also be atheists, agnostics, or anything else that they choose to be, because that is the only way that there can be true, we'll call it truth and honesty, to a creator that seeks for its creations to be truly independent and capable of being self-created, as, by the way, in my opinion, God is self-created. That's very important. So God said, I created myself, therefore I will allow that which seeks to be a part of me, but a conscious part of me, to create itself as well. This is so amazing of a concept, but so difficult for some people to grasp who look around and see the darkness and evil in this world, the violence and the terror that is constantly being produced. It is a real dilemma. And I'm hoping tonight to put this out there, that it makes sense, even if it doesn't feel good, that this is the way a creator, as I'm suggesting that the creator exists, God exists, would have to be. Now, some of you are saying, well, I'm this religion or that religion, and my religion doesn't say what you're saying. My religion has a doctrine. My religion says God believes in these things and promotes only these things and condemns those who don't follow it, and they're going to go to a place called hell or some other kind of nasty place, and they're going to suffer immensely, and other bad things will happen even to those who don't believe in my God, etc. Well, of course, that's the whole point. And what I'm suggesting is the God that I'm familiar with and am bringing to those of you who are listening's attention is a God who even says, let there be as many religions as people choose to be, who create in their understanding an image of God, although it may be very different than the quote-unquote real God, that best suits them at this junction and development of who they are, and let them work it out, because eventually they will find who I really am, and God, and that being will be even greater than the God that they presently choose to be following in and indoctrinated to. Now, some of you may be insulted by that. I hope not, because I hope that you realize that I respect all religions, and I even accept the fact that whatever I propose as my philosophy could be completely goofy, you know? Hey, listen, you know, that other people have their philosophies and they think they're very right, right? So all I'm suggesting here is that there is a symmetry and a larger, bigger picture that can be painted with the God that I'm describing than any God that I've ever studied or know about in any other quote-unquote religious context. So, now that doesn't mean there isn't one bigger than the one I'm doing. And if you know of one, give me a call or email me, you know, at thoughts@whylifeis.com, because I'd love to hear about them. I'm really open to anything at this point. The one thing that I have discovered is that this God that I'm talking about, which I can't really fully describe because there's no doctrine, you know, it's like, okay, everybody's got to figure it out for themselves to some extent. But this God answers all the questions and explains all the paradoxes, like the one I brought up about 5 minutes ago, and gives answers to things that are unanswerable in the more, well, I'll call the limited viewpoints of gods that I've seen and experienced in other religions or in religions, because again, this isn't even a religious viewpoint that I'm stating. It's a more philosophical one, I guess. Because at this point, religion, this is bigger than religion in many respects. Interestingly, in most religions, there are pieces of the God that I'm describing. So it isn't like it's foreign to religions. As a matter of fact, it's ubiquitous in most major religions that I've studied. I mean, there are many elements, but the whole thing I haven't seen put together under the label of a formal religion yet. Okay, so what's God got to do with it is that God is the being who has chosen to allow a screwed up planet like Earth to continue, at least at this point, to exist. And its existence is based upon its own inhabitants rather than a doctrine. Because believe me, if you were to follow most religions, you would have to buy into the thought process that Earth is a doomed planet and should have probably been wiped out some time ago. Because of any place that is as about ungodly as I can imagine, and it's against virtually any religion, I don't care which one you pick, in terms of its functioning, and particularly the atrocities over the centuries and millennia of time that are recorded, at least in this planet, and human history, we should have been gone a long time ago, and we certainly should be gone by now. So, I mean, the point is that this doesn't really make sense if you choose a doctrinated position, indoctrinated position, because it is so antithetical to virtually every creed, every means of believing in whatever God any major religion proposes. We should be gone, and we shouldn't. We don't deserve to be here because we do so many terrible things. Now, there's some of you who might say, yeah, but what about the good things that humans do? Don't they offset it? And isn't that why the God of traditional religion allows us to exist? Well, I could listen to that argument to some extent. The problem I have with that is that if you really believe in a specific doctrine, inevitably, those doctrines are self-limiting, and they say that all those who don't believe in him, for one reason or another, have some negative consequences. And since the majority of people, no matter what religion you pick, aren't that religion, we have a really screwed up planet then, under every religion, and there would be severe consequences for those who don't believe. So you can see that really is one of the quagmires of the present day religious issues, and God doesn't make sense because of the paradoxes there, unless you go into the kind of thing that I'm suggesting. Again, that's my argument. It isn't necessarily the way it has to be, but I'm proposing this because I think that it's important to kind of look deeper into the circumstances and say, you know, let's do some real questioning. Let's use a little bit of reasoning and logic beyond just the faith issue. Because faith is one thing, and that's perfectly okay. But it kind of breaks down when you look at all the different faiths that have oftentimes the paradox of theirs being the right one and others not being so. Now, not every religion buys into that, but most of them have some element of it in them. And that's a problem. That's a real problem. Now, of course, the one I'm suggesting is the antithesis of that. Totally, right? I'm saying, hey, This is the way God wants it to be. God wants it to be that there is this unfortunate possibility, as it takes place, is taking place on Earth, although it doesn't take place mostly on other planets, but here it's really obnoxiously going on, that you can have all these people choosing to be all these different things because they have an incomplete awareness and understanding of God. And God says, that's fine. Even though it brings terrible suffering and misery onto the very people who are doing this, God says, that's all right. Because in the long run, this produces this ability to be an independent being who is self-created and co-creates with this creator, but does so from new angles and in new ways and brings about bold and terrific improvements in the universe that would not take place if that system of openness was not there. I hope you're following me. I know I'm way off there into the clouds today. Some of this is very philosophical. I feel in a philosophical mood, I guess. But the philosophy is something to really think about. And this program is specifically designed to help people to think more. It isn't meant to force or get people to think a certain way, although I do have an opinion. But it's to get people to think more, and that's really the main thing, because that's what the God I believe in, you see? I'm just following my own thing here, and I'm doing exactly what I believe the God of our universe does. I'm trying to emulate that in the processes that I am going through, as incompletely and as in many ways checkered as it is. I'm still trying that in the process of the way that I am even speaking to you at this moment. So hopefully that idea is coming through. Being an example, I think, of the very concepts is probably the best way to explain those concepts. So hopefully I'm being somewhat of an example this evening. All right, so where does that take us? Where does that bring us so I prepare you for the next section? Well, it gives us a foundation of understanding what God has to do with the basics of who we are and what we're doing in this world. But how does it affect the bigger picture, like the whole universe? How does it affect planets that are not as screwed up as Earth is right now, because we are pretty messed up? How does it affect those that really become more advanced than humans and start going into this co-creation thing, you know, at a really big rate? Humans barely touch on it, but what if you really get good at it and you say, you know what, I'm going to start doing it at a big time, and if you're doing it most of the time in your life, then you're probably not human anymore, or at least approaching that stage. And where does that bring us? How does God enter into that picture if you can get by all the garbage that we presently are involved in at the present time, and have been for who knows how long? So that's what going to be what I'm going to talk about next when we come back from break. And we're going to be gone for about 2.5 minutes, give or take, from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Let me continue now. Where do we go from here? Because, I mean, many people say, okay, the Creator created all this mess. It really didn't. We created it ourselves, but it allowed us to, okay. But how do we get out of it? Where do we move into a position where God has a lot more to do with what we are doing than not? Because at the present time, I would say 99% of the time what we do on this planet has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the follies of being illusioned while we're physically alive and creating within those illusions nightmares for ourselves and others that we call karmic issues that come back to haunt us, and that we try to spend more time undoing by far than the time we spend doing. But we are here in the basement, I call it. The basement is the lowest dimension of time and space, in which there's three kind of subdimensions, which really adds up to one. It's a very, very limited kind of place where interactions can take place between life forms. As life forms are restricted in their ability to interact because of dimensions and because of limited time, what happens is that they become cramped. They become selfish. They become self-interested. They lose the ability to have perspective on who and what they are in relationship to all else. It's kind of like being in a super big, huge crowd of people, but there's no more than an inch between everybody. And you really can't see beyond about 3 or 4 or 5 people around you, even though you're in this gigantic crowd of people, and you can't relate to anybody other than the few people that you virtually are in touch with. And so you have your perspective is extremely distorted or illusioned. Just imagine the same number of people, but in 10 times the space, in which you can not only see them from the perspective of one level, one dimension, but you can go above and below them and to various sides and angles. Wouldn't you have a much easier time being able to relate to all those people, being able, in an awareness sense, and being able to be conscious of how and who they are in relationship to you and how you can all be one together if you so choose to create in ways that you would do so. You can see that that example actually is kind of befitting what we are dealing with here. We are in a mass of people in which we can barely move. It's called inertia. And there only is really one dimension. And time-wise, because there is so much lack of movement and so much mass of people around us, mass of everything around us, that it takes almost an infinite amount of time to even get close to walking across this huge group that we call humanity. We really can't get to understand or to, I should be aware of or understand the 6.75 billion people that are surrounding us. We virtually have almost no ability to do that because of the inertia issues. So where is the answer then for this quagmire that we're in? Because we're here to create more of our creator, yet we are crunched together in a way that we're so illusioned that we do the opposite. How are we going to solve that particular problem? And I'm going to tell you the answer now. The answer is going to maybe sound a little strange. The answer to this entire problem is to become multidimensional in our awareness and in our thought, so that we can begin to go above and below. We can begin to create separation that also leads to oneness between us and others, so that we're not separated in a sense between our consciousness, we're separated in our greed and physicalness, in our competition to movement, so that we can help cooperate with and improve the movement of others while we at the same time are no longer focused just on our own physical systems and physical material outcomes. How do we do that? Well, we balance. We balance the material issues that are so right before us that we can't move, we can't do this, we can't do that. How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to have food? Where am I going to do this? We balance that with, it's more important for me now to become spiritual, to think like my creator, to have an awareness and an understanding of my creator in all other people and things around me, which creates the dimensionality, multidimensionality, and frees the mind and the spirit in us to become multidimensional, to enter into an expansion of time that allows us to be creative at levels we never expected we could do, and to do so with others. Now you're going to say, oh, that sounds like a lot of flowery speech. It doesn't sound like you can really do it. No, you can. You can do it. You can actually do this through a scientific proven method called spiritual discipline. Not just somebody else disciplining you. No, no, no. That would be against the God I talked about, right? It's about self-discipline. It's about creating the ability to improve the senses and improve awareness. That's where the awareness comes from, is improved senses. And especially the two senses we have of God. As we improve these senses, we start beginning to have a greater understanding or consciousness of who and what God is in everyone, including ourselves, and how we can co-create with God. And we free ourselves from being crunched in the crowd. We actually can open the crowd up with our own contemplation and reflection from our inner sense of reality. And then externally, we can move ourselves above, below, to sides of this massive crowd, this materiality, the focus of material existence that is around us, and allow ourselves to see each being as having the same capabilities. And once we see they have the same capabilities, then we can formulate ways that we can co-create with them and help them to do the same with us. So this can all come about through this thing called spiritual discipline and changing the way we are on the inside. Our inner reality changes can change the outer reality changes, so that we actually become multidimensional in our own senses. Now, how does that take place? It takes place by unifying the senses, not by separating them, but by unifying them. As the senses are unified in each of three and eventually four bodies that we have in different dimensions of time and space, as they start becoming unified, we develop the abilities to do the things I just have been describing to you. And we are able to co-create with others and help them to do the same with us and others. And eventually we are helping to create more of God. And so God has a lot to do with this, because God thought of this system before we did. But it doesn't force the system on us. It's not an indoctrination, because we can only discover the system as we choose to participate in it. And each person, now this is very important, each person does it in a unique way, an individual way, and no two people, as far as I know, in the entire universe have ever done it exactly the same way. I'm going to repeat that. No two people in the entire universe. Now, there's so many people in the universe, it's beyond all imagination because there's trillions and trillions of planets, okay? So it's way beyond any number we can even imagine. And no two people who have ever participated in this, which is most people eventually do participate, but not necessarily in a single lifetime. It takes a lot of lifetimes to achieve this, so souls are really the beings that we're talking about. But no two people of any soul have ever accomplished this process exactly the same way. And you might say to yourself, well, wait a second, that gets back to the whole thing you were talking about, which is that you think that God is actually a being that's helping all other life to be creative in itself. You got it. That's right. So the only way you can discover God is to be creative in a way with God that is unique to you. It makes you more of an individual while you learn how to become one with all others. Let me say that again. It makes you more of an individual while, I know this sounds paradoxical again, while you're becoming more one with all others. So we don't lose individuality, we gain individuality, and that individuality is contributed to and given to all others for them to come up with a new way for them to become individual, because we all use each other's individuality to help us figure out even new and more creative ways for each of us to do this ad infinitum. Am I losing you, or are you starting to say, I think I may be getting it? I don't know. I hope I'm not losing you. But, yeah, it's so big, it's hard to wrap your head around it, right? Because it's like one of those pay-it-forward things. It's like paying it forward and all these different... Before long, it's like multiple dimensions of paying it forward thing. And it's so big, but it's how the universe works. It goes way beyond Earth, because Earth right now is kind of stuck in the mud. I agree. It's not doing much of what I'm talking about. But it will. Now, could Earth destroy itself? Yes. I don't want you to think this system is some kind of magic recipe that prevents some planets from blowing themselves up. But if it does, the souls of this planet just go to another one. I mean, it's not the worst thing. It does. It's a nuisance, and it's not fun, and it's terrible. And God doesn't want that, but it has to allow that. Or the system wouldn't truly allow each of us to become individuals ad infinitum and creative ad infinitum and to help others to do the same. We couldn't all be doing it. And so there's a penalty, if you want to call it, to the system. And the penalty of the system is that bad things can sometimes happen to very good people, it seems, and that some creative elements are painful to experience at times. But, you know, despite the fact I don't like all those things, based upon my own experience, I wouldn't have it any other way. Because every other way I've ever figured or thought of, other than this particular system, leads to boredom and fatigue, repetition, dullness, and basically makes us all puppets. And in a weird way, it even makes the puppeteer a puppet. So that no one then experiences real growth or creation, no one becomes an individual, and everyone is nothing more than a directed and totally controlled being and outcome. That is so depressing to me. That is so negative that I've given up thinking that we should try some other system, because this system seems to be the only one that actually leads to freedom of expression and creation, and to each of us ultimately enjoying the process of becoming a creator as well. The odd thing about the process is the end of the process itself leads to every being, every life, having the opportunity to become a god. Now, I don't want to think and sound like, oh, man, you pay your $1,500 and go become an avatar and a god and this and that. No, it's just the opposite. This is not one of these things where you get a little plaque on the wall and say, I am now a god, so I'm going to say this and do that. No. This is something that is self-created and that you absolutely would not need or want anyone to confer upon you. It is something that is so intrinsic to the nature of what it means to be alive and a co-creator with our creator that it is intimately connected to a process rather than to becoming something. There's no such thing as being a god that is unchangeable and blank. Because by this very definition that I have described of the God that I'm talking about, this God is continually changing, continually growing through its own life forms, and it seeks to be that, to never be static, to be dynamic, to move into new adventures every moment of its own existence, and to exist, but to exist without control, without forcing something to be, but rather to allow. Now, does that mean that evolution is not godly? Because it obviously has great forces involved. Evolution is for those life forms that have not yet reached the point, the tipping point, of being able to be aware enough and co-creative enough of their creator. Those could be humans as well. So that spirit or the thought of God is what guides them rather than forces. Most humans still are reacting more to forces on earth than they are to spirit. So they're living more like they're animals, the animals around them, than they are of humans on other planets. But they still have their moments of being human while they're physically alive. And then as they move into other dimensions of time and space and shed the bodies and senses that force them into the crowd that I described, where they can't really see beyond a few people and they're just, you know, tightly bound in and there's no real reality to them beyond that. That goes away as they live in the astral and the lower monastic worlds and they're moving back to being the consciousness of their soul. So, it's only a temporary condition. And naturally, through the grace of God, we go back to being our souls unless we've chosen a path of evil, which is rare, and a few people who do that eventually correct the problem for themselves through great suffering. So this is how it all seemingly works. I do want you to realize that although I'm describing this in great detail, I could still be wrong. Don't think that I'm stuck in this thing. I'm always waiting and open for somebody to say, well, it's really like this, Niles. And I'll say, oh, okay, well, go ahead and tell me. But for right now, this is the best working model I have. I'm sharing it with you this evening because I want you to know from my perspective, what does God have to do with it? Well, hopefully a whole show about talking about God is giving you some clues. God has got to do with everything. But at the same time, God has to do with almost nothing unless you're willing to co-create. You're not willing to co-create? For all intents and purposes, God doesn't exist for you. I feel sad for those people who are in that position, even if they revel in it at this particular point in their existence, because there will come a time when they will regret that. But that's not because I relish that to happen or want it to. It's just that it seems to me to be inevitable. Well, we're running out of time for right now. I hope that I have given you some things to think about. This is a very thoughtful show, I thought. If you have a chance on Sunday, this coming Sunday, November 30th, listen to WDIS-AM radio, and that's 1170 on the dial if you are in Boston or anywhere like Providence, Rhode Island, etc. And you can hear me talk about, well, I don't know yet. Actually, it's to be announced. But it's going to be something very interesting. And it's from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you cannot get that station from where you are, you can go on WDISAM.com and listen to me, just like you are right now, on the Internet. And Wildlife is live now on WDIS radio. So tune in this coming Sunday. Also, if you happen to be in the Phoenix area this coming Monday, December 1st, from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m., you can hear Mimi talk about the science of sexual energy. Now, Mimi is a member of a spiritual group I'm a member of, and if you'd like to listen in. And if you want to know more about the spiritual group we happen to be members of, you can go to agelesswisdom.com. That's agelesswisdom.com, and find out more about the spiritual group I'm a member of. And again, I'm not telling you to join it or do anything like that. It's just if some people want to know, well, what's that group you keep talking about? Well, that's the name of the group, agelesswisdom.com. Because Angel's Wisdom is a philosophy that I have talked to you about during today's show. So if you want to know more about that, you can go there. You can read some of the books I've written or some of the papers I've written. You have a lot of opportunities to find out more if you would like to. Hopefully this has been an interesting show for you. It has been for me. I enjoyed it. I hope you have too. Until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Wildlife Is.